Good morning. You listen to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is John Ball with Stifel Nicolaus. John, how you doing?
I'm doing terrific, Kemp. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Actually, it's been 12 weeks since we've talked, and third quarter now has come by. Most people who listen to this show know that we really didn't get much of a fall selling season. What is your read on the flooring market as you analyze the performance of some of these companies?
Yeah, it was a disappointing quarter for sure after the spring hope, I guess, due to the tax credit pulling some home sales and activity forward. We had the air pocket following that. It was weak on the residential side throughout the quarter, whether it was new construction or remodel. I sensed there was some destocking of inventory done where there's some store inventory or distributor inventory. So it was a tough quarter for the manufacturers. As you said, we got back after Labor Day and we didn't pick up at all, which is unusual to say the least. So I think the combination of the horrible news about all the foreclosure problems, lack of home prices lifting, no real rise in income has kept the whole housing picture suspect. On the good news side to the third quarter, the commercial side of the business was clearly materially better than what we had modeled due to increased remodeling activity. So there was some good news. It was just on the commercial, not residential side.
Actually, we're seeing, I think, an anomaly here, something that's never happened before. Usually with these recessions, you know, the residential market leads us down and the commercial market follows, and then the residential market leads us up and the commercial market follows. But this time, for the first time in several recessions that I've looked at in the past, the commercial market is showing some recovery prior to the residential market.
You're a good student of history, and it is exactly what's going on. And the reason why probably has to do with balance sheets. Corporations, as has been talked about and written about in many places, are flush with cash, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. Very high cash positions, very well capitalized. The consumer, not the case. While they're deleveraging, some of that deleveraging, by the way, is walking away from debt, which is not necessarily a good thing. They're still in hock, particularly when it relates to buying expensive items like cars or houses on credit. So that's probably why we're seeing the commercial. We're seeing some level of spending going on by corporations who had clearly put projects on hold after the 2008 debacle, and they're releasing some of those projects now because they have the money to do it.
All right, so let's go through Mohawk. Their performance was below estimate, and sales were off.
Yeah, obviously Mohawk more tied to the residential side of the world than commercial, and on that front, they're not as big a player in carpet tile, which is where the strength is in commercial. So their Mohawk revenue results were weak, down mid-single digits, probably a little worse than the industry. I think that's due to their relative lack of exposure on the low end of the polyester product lines, which is where the strength has been. So a little weak there. Unilin had a tough quarter as well. That's partly seasonal. It's always a shutdown time over there in Europe. And then Daltile's revenues were impacted partially by the problem with the flood down in their Mexican facility. But, you know, there they rely on the commercial new construction, the residential new construction markets fairly heavily, and both of those have been exceedingly weak. So, yeah, across the board on a revenue front, it was a pretty tough quarter. Margins, though, were reasonably strong, and they wound up making an earning very close to what we estimated. So a miss on revenues, but right in line on earnings.
Yeah, and I didn't get a chance to listen to the conference call. What did Jeff say the fourth quarter might look like?
Rather than necessarily take a fourth quarter view, they put in an earnings number, but they don't give you revenues. Mm-hmm. You know, Jeff's view of the longer term, whether that's 2011 or beyond, is we've got to be near the bottom of a cycle here, and the upside is significant once we get there. But, you know, we can't have housing starts go down or flat like they were in 2010 versus 2009. Everybody thought they were going to be up. They weren't. The same forecast holds now for 2011. Everybody thinks housing starts are going to be up and existing home sales are going to be up. We shall see. We certainly are near a cyclical trough. I think Jeff sees the glass half full when he looks out in time, which I don't necessarily disagree with. As tough as the conditions are right now, we had our historic low levels of construction activity and resale activity.
Yeah, so basically he's saying, hey, we're the biggest player in the business, and the outlook is going to be slow but positive toward the future.
Yeah, and you know, look, Mohawk's making a lot of investments overseas, right? They've got a new ceramic tile plant going into Mexico. They've just done the JV with a Chinese ceramic tile player. They're expanding in Russia. So, you know, longer range, you know, they're obviously trying to grow where markets are growing. But, you know, the U.S. will rebound off of the cyclical low. Okay, we've talked about this before. It's a question of when. And obviously it's going to take longer than a lot of prognosticators thought, although I think I was pretty bearish a year ago when we talked on this program.
Right. And actually their stock price has not been impacted by this current report because it's still trading about in the mid-50s.
Yeah, the stock, for unexplainable reasons to me, had rallied into the release, and it's been weak since the release, but I had no idea why the stock was rallying into the release. That didn't make a whole lot of sense. All the building products companies, I don't care who you talk about, and I covered several of them, whether it's Owens Corning or USG, or you pick a name, had very disappointing Q3 performances.
And with the exception, and let's move to this one, Interface, their stock right now is trading at a 52-week high.
Yeah, it's a terrific quarter. We're seeing orders increase year over year in the third quarter in the 20% range, which, you know, is just phenomenal. Had you asked me at the beginning of the year that it could return that quickly, you know, I had the commercial business bottoming in late 2010, early 2011. Mm-hmm. And the remodel piece is bottomed in early to mid 2010 and is recovering nicely. And we still have a drag on new build, but that market has turned much faster than I thought. We're seeing it in ceiling tiles. We're seeing it in floor covering. So that's been a very pleasant surprise. Of course, Interface is predominantly a carpet tile manufacturer, and that's where the particular strength is. So you have secular gains within the category, and then you have the whole category probably going positive year over year, and that's why they had such a strong quarter. Shipments up 15%, orders up 20%.
Yeah, I interviewed yesterday Bob Murray, the economist with McGraw-Hill, and he was talking about construction starts for 11, and he's predicting on the commercial side for buildings it'll be up 16%, but he said the majority of the investment as it relates to flooring is on the remodel side in the commercial market.
Yes, and that's always been the case. I think Interface says that it's 80 to 85%, maybe 90% at the trough year of commercial construction has gone into the remodel market.
Okay, and last, let's talk a little bit about Armstrong.
Obviously, two kind of businesses here, the ceilings business, which is frankly more related to the Interface flooring business, same kind of end market. Same thing here. We've seen their remodel activity in ceilings drive that business up year over year. Likewise, the flooring, which is more tied to the residential side of the world, has been very disappointing. The hardwood flooring business heavily tied to new construction, that remains exceedingly weak.
Yeah, down 14%.
Yeah, so real disappointment out of the hardwood business, and you can see there closing more facilities and taking more costs out. Once again, that business will climb at some point, but 2010 has clearly been a disappointment in that regard.
Yeah, actually, the long-term outlook for wood flooring is very good, so it's just for them right now, it's just another bad quarter.
Yeah, and you know, they're right-sizing their cost structure, and between resilient and wood, you know, kind of close to break-even right now, and they've been there for a while on declining volumes. So once we get volumes to turn on a lower cost structure, you'll see tremendous leverage to earnings there.
Now, one that we don't normally talk about, John, and you may not even have paper in front of you, but you know, I know you follow Lumber Liquidators, and as far as my business model is concerned, since they're a category killer, they're not one of my best friends, but I guess SAP affected their performance.
Yeah, it was a sort of tale of two halves of the quarter. Up through the SAP implementation in the third week of August, their comp sales were running up 7-8% positive, which phenomenal performance based on what I think was going on in June, July, August. And then they had problems with an SAP implementation, certainly not the first company to run through that. And it kind of cratered business for the remainder of the quarter. They're still recovering from it. It resulted in comps being negative for the quarter. So when you don't know where your inventory is and you're not sure when it's going to show up, and it's hard to fill orders and take orders. So that too will pass. Most SAP implementations, once everybody's up to speed, presumably the systems work better, not right. worse than what you had in place. But that transition can be a bear, and it caught them.
Yeah, it's supposed to improve efficiencies long term. So yeah, I know this is somewhat of a crystal ball question. You feel pretty good about what we're facing with 2011 around the corner?
Well, you know, this foreclosure thing has been what I've been worried about, the so-called shadow inventory of homes. You know, how many homes are vacant? How many homes are owned by banks who don't want to own homes? How many homes are going to be owned by banks in the future? And how and when does that supply come on the market? You can see in places like Florida, we are not through the problem. In that state, we've got judges that have to review foreclosures. The courts are backed up. I saw a stat that the average foreclosure in the state of Florida takes over 600 days. We've got to resolve that backlog. We don't want to dribble it out. I realize that bringing it out all of a sudden lowers home prices, but we're better off taking our medicine and moving on. So the real issue in the residential markets remains how we're going to work through these excesses, because I'm convinced, Kemp, that the floor covering business is tied to home prices. And once home prices truly stabilize, or preferably go up, we'll begin to see people reinvest in their homes. Until then, it's going to be very, very sticky. So my view on 2011 is commercial looks like it's going to have a really good year versus 2010. It's hard to imagine residential gets worse, but I'm questioning how much stronger it's going to get in the early part of the year at least.
One other factor is the consumer sentiment on the replacement side. And some people were saying, let's wait and see what happens to the election and see what happens with these tax cuts. Really hard.
Well, that's critical. I mean, obviously, the tone of the stock market's been better. That's a good leading indicator.
It is.
If we don't get any tax increases and those increases are pushed off in a number of years, that would be very favorable. So certainly this election, which was a landslide for the Republicans, the degree the business community gets comfortable and small businessmen get comfortable, that they know what kind of regulatory and tax world they're going to live in, we could begin to see confidence build. It's a little early to make that call. Some of the tea leaves are, you know, in place for that to happen based on the election results. But again, at the end of the day, the consumer's going to spend money with money they have because they can't borrow it. They can't spend it with hope. They got to have it. And it's locked up in their house, so their house has to go up or their incomes have to go up. So it's a little early to make that call, but certainly we have, at least in place in Washington now, the chance for some policy changes, tax changes, regulatory changes that will create a better environment for business confidence.
Okay, John, appreciate it. We've been talking again to John Ball with Stifel Nicolaus and a leading analyst in the interior furnishings business. And you've been listening to Kemp Haar and Floridelli.net.